you see the second row from the bottom?
Oh.
The one next to the third one for counting from the left. That's it. And then also on the bottom row, the first one on the left.
I've been in that one.
You've been in there?
Yeah.
I hope it hasn't been harvested. Barley.
Well, who knows? But it should be. It was okay 3 days ago.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I'll take a chance. It's a nice walk anyway.
Yeah. It didn't look too tidy. I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you what. Yeah, it wasn't tidy either. But the thing is, they tell me about it. It was in barley, and it's almost a month old. And the thing was, well, what they tell me, it was a very unusual crop in that all the formation, the laid crop, was originally not laid. It's been trampled down, but it was not laid. It was all, the effect was always, was all created by the top node, the stalk from the top node upwards was bent at a 90-degree angle. So it gave it a very feathery effect, even at the beginning. It was a very unusual feathery effect. You understand what I mean?
I understand you, but I had a look at the crop in it.
What?
I had a look at the crop and the layering, and all the stems, they were actually broken. I don't know, maybe because people walked over them.
No doubt, could be. But people showed me, the man that took me in there was an Englishman who was quite well versed, and he showed me the bent node, bent, not broken, at the top node. And that's what he said was very evidential.
Uh-huh.
I was just saying, there was a lady here who was there the first day, English lady, who lives nearby here, knows a lot of her. And that's what she said, it was a very new crop. But that's something for you to check out, you know, the actual thing.
So, you are a crop circle investigator, or how did you...
Just an enthusiast. I'm from my name is Zan Overall. And I live in Los Angeles, and this is my first time in England, my first time in a crop circle. I've been in about six now in a few days, and I'm quite satisfied that it's something mysterious.
Mm-hmm. So, how long have you been investigating the whole phenomenon?
Well, that's a very formal way to put it. I mean, I'm just an enthusiast, you know. But I'm an enthusiast who, I'm sort of contentious. I like to confront people who disbelieve, confront people who know nothing, you know. They know nothing, but they're not aware of the fact. In fact, I called a talk show in Los Angeles yesterday, 10 o'clock in the morning here, it was 2 in the morning there, and talked to the host. I know him quite well, we're friends, but he says, I know how they do them. He said, the man holds a stake and the other man holds a cord and they walks around. That's all there is to it. You know, and you look at...
What was your response on that?
Oh, I can't even remember. Probably was speechless for a moment, dead air. It's impossible to describe things over the radio anyway. But when I get a chance to really discuss it with him, I'll point out Picked Hill. You know Picked Hill? Picked Hill was a couple of years ago. It's a circle. I mean, it's basically the form of a circle. But in the circle are 22 arcs going, let's say, counterclockwise, and 22 opposing arcs going clockwise.
Okay.
I'll find it for you here. And as they meet, you see now, 22 going that way, 22 going that way, and as they meet, they form perfect little triangles. Do you agree?
Yeah.
And when
I remember that formation. Yeah.
Sure, it's famous. And when they arrive here, these perfect little triangles of a different shape. At the outside, they form the perfect. I mean, you can get 100 men with damn
sticks and boards,
and stakes in the ground, and they won't do that. You know, it's just maddening. But
for that one,
the same thing here.
The magnetic field.
What?
It's a magnetic field. When I first saw it,
yeah, it looks like a magnetic field. Yeah. And this one here, I think it's Windmill Hill.
This one is actually man-made.
This one here?
Yes. They found out. I was here last year, and Charles Mallett told me that.
Who was
Charles Mallett? Yes.
He was talking about it, eh? Mm-hmm. Well, as long as somebody claims it, I guess that's all it takes.
No, he's an investigator, and so.
Now this was man-made. How did they do that?
Well, I can tell you later. But
all right. It doesn't work on the radio.
It doesn't work on the radio. All right.
Are there any that you feel are not man-made?
Yes, I think there are a lot. Michael Glickman, I think, said, or wasn't Michael Glickman that? Colin Andrews said that 80% are hoax and 20% are.
Colin Andrews can go to hell. Colin Andrews can go straight to hell.
Why?
He has no proof of this, of that phenomenal statement. He has no proof. Have you read Michael Glickman's rebuttal to that?
No.
Do you ever watch Swirl News? Do you ever go on the internet and look at Swirl News?
Yeah, I'm not Swirl News. No.
I suggest you do, sir. I suggest you go to Swirl News and you read Michael Glickman's rebuttal, his destruction of that treasonous statement.
Yeah, okay, but even if he says that 80% are hoax, still 20% are not.
That sounds good, but I won't call him a gentleman. I should, because Colin Andrews done a lot of good work in the past, but now he's a Judas, a damn Judas. When he says 80% hoax, 20% real or natural, and that's the when he says some of them may be natural, so. He's completely washed out any reality or any significance for the following 20. You understand?
Okay.
He doesn't say flat out these are real and. I think he's a publicity hound, truly. Mm. But I'll tell you, you seem to have some opinions. I suggest before you get on the radio, and speak in good terms of Colin Andrews 80-20. You read Michael Glickman's. All
yeah,
right.
Swirl I will.
News. Thank you. As you see, I told you I was contentious, and now I proved it.
So you think that a much higher rate than 20% are truly unexplicable? Let's put it that way.
I mean, I'm not basing it on any. I mean, every. And my feeling is it's more like the other way around.
And what do you think is the cause of those? However, the percentage is of the real McCoy.
The cause of it?
Yeah. Who produces them?
Well, it's very simple to explain. Are you ready? Very simple to explain. It is a mystery. It's a mystery. As of now, it's a mystery. You'll have to live with it. That's my feeling.
So the only thing you can say is that we just don't know.
All right, now you got me. My personal feeling is obviously created by some huge intelligence. Some huge intelligence. If you've looked at the geometrical complexities of mathematical relationships, they're not done by a schoolboy or by Matt Williams, of anybody of that caliber. They're done by a huge intelligence. That doesn't prove that they're. I don't buy the extraterrestrial thing. I think this world is mysterious enough. Like my great aunt's dead. My grandfather's dead. I believe they're still. They didn't dissolve in a puff of smoke and are no more. I think they're extant somewhere, but I don't know where. It's hard to find them. And the world is mysterious, and I think that whoever is doing it is at home in some other dimension of that nature. I think it's a terrestrial. That's my feeling. It's a terrestrial theory. Andy Thomas's group that contacted supposedly got pretty close to contacting the Circle Makers have the idea that they're basically nature spirits, people spirits connected to certain localities.
Ascended masters.
Well, that's no. Just nature spirits that are guarding certain parts of the ground, the land.
Is there a message which goes through all the crop circles, or are it a lot of different messages? What do you think? Why are they there?
Well, if you want my opinion, the crop circles have been around for hundreds of years. That's the effect, but they're becoming more and more complex, and they seem to be maybe pointing to some crisis point in the near future. There's a lot of talk about 2012. You know that kind of. So that could be leading us up to that. I think it's the big point of contention in our civilization right now is between the materialists who see nothing mysterious in the world. Everything that is mysterious is debunked. People like, I don't know, in this country, but in the United States, we have the Skeptic Society, we have the Committee for the Scientific, they call themselves the Committee for the Scientific Investigation of Claims of the Paranormal. And they've investigated many claims of the paranormal, and you know what the score is? Claims of the paranormal, zero. Psychop, that's their name, 900, let's say. I mean, it's just, they're debunkers, they're nothing. I don't call them the Committee for the Scientific Investigation of Claims of the Paranormal. I call them Committee for the Spurious Invalidation of Claims of the Paranormal.
Why do you think that people are so afraid of anything unexplicable? Why do they need to explain away crop circles by young kids running around with sports and strings rather than keep it, as you said, there?
That's a good question. Well, when you're in a strange house and you know nobody else is in the house with you, and you hear a strange noise, it's frightening, you know. When there's something unfamiliar, it's basically frightening until you know what it is. And once, if we ever found out what it was, then it would not be supernatural, it would be natural. In fact, I think everything that happens is natural. It's only supernatural in our knowledge. But you ask me why we're frightened. Well, as I said, there's a huge divide between people who are open to things of this sort and people like the psychop and people like that who have a innate resistance to them. They think they're being rational. As a matter of fact, I think they're being extremely gullible. Because people like that, and they're in control of the academic world, they're in control of... you don't get very far in the academic world saying, "Oh, I think the crop circle. You know, I think you can talk to the ghosts and so on." Yeah, you don't get anywhere that way. In the old days, you could. People like that, they're in control. And I'm losing my track here.
Why are they afraid?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's their religion. Their religion is when you die, you're dead. There's no intelligence can operate outside of a physical shell. That's their, they think of it as a scientific fact. Actually, it's just their belief. And when anything that threatens a person's basic belief is resisted with hammer and tongs, right? And that's, they're resisting it hammer and tongs. And why are they afraid? Well, anybody's afraid when your basic beliefs are threatened.
Some people claim that there is an agenda going on, like Colin Andrews on this very famous Crop Circle documentary talked about this alleged visitation by a CIA agent who tried to talk him out of the thing. I know what you think about Colin Andrews, but do you think that...
That I could believe, but I have no proof of it. Did you finish your question? If you're talking about government involvement, I don't know a great deal about it, but I have a very definite feeling, and I've heard reports about Doug and Dave, that was disinformation, because the people, the news agency or whatever that put them forward, it's very mysterious. It looks like a cover, a front for some intelligence agency, because they weren't a legitimate, news agency or whatever it was. They disappeared right after it was brought out. So, I think things like that happen, you know.
What do you think the phenomenon will lead to? I mean, you already mentioned 2012, it could be a warning. What do you think are the next steps, so to say? What's your personal feeling about it? How will the phenomena evolve in the coming years?
Well, I'm no prophet, but I just see I see a crescendo, which crescendo is Italian for growing, you know. So I see a growing complexity, and where it needs, I don't know. I'm trying to be honest here. I don't know, but it's I'm certainly going to be watching Swirl News. By the way, that's I have no connection with it, but it's Swirl News, like a play on World News. SWIRLEDNEWS, one word, .com. And anybody who's interested and hears this, why I suggest they check it out. And check out, go back a few issues, Michael Glickman's corner, and see what he has to say about Colin Enders. He uses no language that isn't appropriate for family, but he was tempted, I'm sure.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. And I wish you a good time for the rest of your stay in the UK.
Thank you very much. Bye.